This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and this is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for Wednesday. It's Trader Nick in the United States. How are you doing, Nick?
Hi, Johnny. I'm doing well.
So much has happened since we last spoke, both domestically here in the UK and where you are in the United States. We'll talk a bit later about the repercussions of the general election announcement on this side of the pond, but there's plenty where you are. Let's start with the NVIDIA earnings, which have seen NVIDIA's profits absolutely soar, driven by its dominance in chip making amid the AI surge. Net income, I mean, it's an eye-watering figure, skyrocketing to just short of $15 billion. Now, few people would have heard of NVIDIA a few years ago. It's incredible how swift its progress has been.
Yes, it is. And it's really just been an unbeatable stock. If you look at the daily chart and scroll out, the thing just has gone straight up and to the right. That being said, today marks kind of a new high. $1,045 per share is what I'm reading at the time of recording this. I mean, that's up over 10% on the day. And just an impressive earnings report, to say the least. I mean, the thing is, when we were going into NVIDIA earnings, the consensus already was, the expectation was already high for NVIDIA. The company has a track record of beating their earnings estimates, raising their guidance. So when we went into this, the stakes were very high for not just NVIDIA, but the broader market as well. NVIDIA, as you mentioned, has been like leading the whole AI charge, as of course they are a predominant chip creator or semiconductor company. And so they have a huge role to play in whether or not the tech rally continues. Well, looking at a chart here, for those of you who are listening only, I've got a level of resistance here at that 950 mark that price came up to and tested a few times in the months leading up to this. But we got exactly what the market was hoping for, which was a beat on numbers and a raise for guidance. It was a stellar earnings report. As you mentioned, they beat significantly. They outperformed both on earnings and revenue estimates, which got everybody very, very excited. And as I mentioned, this was no easy feat to beat estimates so widely. You know, the reaction to this is broad. It's not just NVIDIA. NVIDIA makes up a big component to the S&P 500 and to the NASDAQ and, you know, to the secular tech rally that we've seen as a whole. The NASDAQ is up 0.4% at the time of recording this. At one point this morning, it had almost approached the 19,000 mark, which is incredibly impressive. Off of the back of NVIDIA earnings, the last time we had an earnings beat like this, or the last earnings report that we got from NVIDIA prior to this one, the market rallied like 5%, the S&P 500 in the following month. So question will be, are we going to see a repeat reaction? Well, you know, we did see initially a big spike here this morning. It has since faded. If you take a look at the, you know, lower timeframes on your chart, big pop in the early market session, and then a dwindling effect back down since then. But NVIDIA itself still near session highs at the time of recording this. And again, indices cheering the idea that perhaps the AI trade is young and has plenty of room to go. At least for now, that seems to be the consensus. Part with, you know, the idea that the Fed is not adversarial and looks like it still wants to cut rates perhaps this year or next year. That being said, there was some mixed reactions in the meeting minutes, Johnny.
They've left the door open, haven't they, to a probable, is it a possible rate cut in September? I'm not sure. I think markets don't really know what to make of what those minutes have said.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you have Jerome Powell, who is the Fed chairman, and he seems keen on cutting rates. Like he sounds a little bit more dovish than the rest. Well, remember that the Fed is not a dictatorship. There is, you know, many people involved in making the decision. And so some of his colleagues are more on the hawkish side, you know, pointing to the fact that inflation, you know, one print is one print. We don't have a confirmed kind of downward trend in inflation. And so the meeting minutes had a bit of a hawkish tone to them, and the markets certainly didn't like that, though the dollar index, you know, of course, does like that, as it could suggest that rate cuts are not coming as soon. So meeting minutes, again, offered a little bit of a hawkish take. And we also had some more data that came out this morning.
That's right. We've seen the latest US PMI data, which has beaten expectations, which I'm assuming is probably a bad thing for markets or not.
It kind of is. And that's where we keep kind of coming back to this conversation, whether or not
good news is bad news.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so, you know, today the market is clearly taking this as not necessarily good news, even though, you know, PMI data came in strong for the US this morning, and for the UK and Europe, it was, you know, a relatively upbeat report. The market's not loving that simply because, again, it gets in the way of the idea of when are rate cuts coming. One of the areas that that's pretty evident in is if you take a look at gold here, gold down 1.5% on the day. That's a pretty significant sell-off in recent times. You know, so you're seeing PMI data come in and suggest maybe some strong economic prints are still mixed in there. And so taking away from the idea of rate cuts, at least in the short term, seems to be the dominant story for markets. It's all about the rate cuts more than anything else, it seems.
Crossing over to this side of the Atlantic, Nick, a lot of people expected Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to wait a bit longer to call an election, partially because they thought he'd take advantage of possible rate cuts that we would see in the summer or possibly later on in the autumn. But he hasn't taken advantage of that. Of course, we had a good inflation number down to 2.3%. And this is followed by this snap election announcement, which has shocked many, a lot of people, indeed, in his own government and in his own party, who wanted him to carry on for at least another 6 months until there was possibly more good news about the economy. A lot of people are wondering why he has gone early. Some people suggest he's had enough and he just wants to get on with it. Others that there may be a challenge to his leadership, so he wanted to get in there first. And there are other political factors. As I said, the economy may not improve over the next few months. And there's also potential problems with immigration. So markets, they don't like uncertainty, but it very much looks, I don't know if how much you follow British politics, Nick, as though we're going to have a Labour government, which is your equivalent, really, of the Democrats, in around about 6-7 weeks' time on, guess what date? July the 4th is the date of the election.
So, Johnny, here's the thing is, you know, I don't follow UK politics very closely. And so maybe I can actually help to bridge the understanding gap that maybe some of the other listeners feel. We saw them call an election. So they have the ability to call an election. That's something that I'm not even super familiar with. In the US, we have, you know, a strict when it happens kind of thing. They're calling an election. The existing party, there's questions as to why they would choose to do that.
Particularly as they are about 20 to 25 points behind in the opinion polls.
Yeah, I did see that when I looked at it. It was you know, suggesting that this would be a maybe not the best time. So the interesting thing there is you did mention also that within this, that markets don't like uncertainty, and any, you know, election year, whether it's US or UK, that's one thing that markets can definitely agree on, is not knowing who and what is coming next is usually a thing that causes markets to pause or consolidate or even sell off in anticipation of what could come. I wonder what this means in terms of, you know, going forward. You know, the UK stock market has been up significantly in recent months. We have seen overall some significant progress in inflation in the UK. But the question is now, is that progress also coming at the back of, you know, potential longer dated recession? That's the bigger question too. So I wonder, in terms of a shift in party, do you have any thoughts, Johnny, on what that would mean for the economy?
Well, for specific shares, companies, and stocks, because it's possible, for instance, that there may be an extra tax on the energy companies, a windfall tax, they call it over here, which the Labour Party are a big fan of. House builders play a prominent part in this country. Economically, I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of difference between what Labour and the Conservative Party, the government at the moment, can do, because there's not much wriggle room. We've been in a technical recession for some time. There isn't much money around. The big question is, are they going to have to raise taxes? Are they going to have to raise income tax? They say not, but it might be that the Labour Party, which traditionally has been the party that has raised income tax more than the Conservatives, people think it's time for change. The Conservatives have been in power for 14 years. It's going to be very interesting to see how it goes over the next 6 weeks or so.
It sure is. And again, with U.S. elections also on the horizon, you got plenty of uncertainty. And I believe there's, I don't know all of the specific elections, but I believe globally, it's a very heavy election year across many countries. So, you know, that uncertainty always can cause markets to be volatile. So perhaps, that's one thing to mention too, is that if you take a look at VIX futures going out several months, it is very clear the implied volatility in the market is higher. So people are expecting uncertainty and volatility going forward. So we will have to see where that takes us. And of course, on the podcast, we'll be publishing all of it.
Nick, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again on Friday.
Okay, thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse Podcast by Oanda.